Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community.
Today we're going to be in Matthew 18, so if you want to turn there in your Bibles. Also, I always like to push this. I mean, technology has come a long way, and in some ways it's hurt us, if we're honest, but in a lot of ways it's cool. So if you have a smartphone, there is a Bible app, in case you didn't know. Most people know, but I'm just going to say, just in case there's just one that needs it, all you got to do is search Bible, and there it is, and it's pretty impressive. They have a lot of devotionals and stuff, and I don't get paid by YouVersion to say that, but I wish I did, but anyway, I encourage you, if you don't have a Bible or and you have a smartphone, man, download it, and it's a powerful, powerful thing, and there at your fingertips, you have over like 50 translations. It's crazy. But today, as you can see on the screen, we're going to be talking about forgiveness today. And I just want to preface this message with kind of setting it up. Pastor Steve asked me, he said that they were going to be out of town and he was going to be going down and enjoying the beach life. And he said, at first, I thought he was going to be gone for 2 weeks. And so I thought I had to gear up for two messages, but it's just this one. And so I'm here, you get me. But as he told me, I was studying for a sermon series that I was preaching to our youth. That sermon series is going through different parables of Jesus. And I believe it's been powerful. It's opened my eyes. I've been reading through the different parables and studying, and you can kind of cross-reference them throughout the Gospels. This parable, I did preach a sermon over it to our youth, but I really thought it was powerful. And I thought that, man, I think we all need this lesson in our life about forgiveness. All of us, if even saying the word, some of us might have something kind of come up in our heart of maybe something somebody did to you, or maybe that grudge that you're still holding, and it's like, man, forgiveness, I don't want to be here. What I don't want to do is make this feel like I'm sitting you down, like as if you went to the principal's office. How many of you guys have ever been to the principal's office? Anyone? I've been a few times. I was a principal's kid, and they loved me, but at the same time, I was there for a reason. You know, I wasn't proctoring or helping them. I was there being sat down talking to because of different things that would occur throughout school. But I remember very vividly getting a lesson of forgiveness because some kid hit me on the playground, you know, several weeks back, and then just randomly I decided, man, today's a good day to hit him back, you know, and then my principal said, man, it's important to forgive. It's important to let that go. I don't want it to feel like I'm sitting you down and slapping your hand. So there's no guilt, no shaming today. What I am doing, though, is encouraging us all to look at our hearts and really look deep down inside and see if, man, this area of forgiveness, this area of resentment and refusing to let go, maybe there's something in your heart that you need to deal with. Maybe there's something in your heart that you need to let go. And so what I want to do is humble everybody real quick. I want us to get on the same page. And so what I want you to do is raise your hand simply if, one, you've held on to something probably longer than you should, and you have refused to forgave somebody. At one point in your life, you held on to unforgiveness, and you just refused to forgive anybody. Okay, keep your hands up. Raise your hand if you're not raising your hand. If you've ever had a grudge towards somebody for something they did to you, raise your hand. I mean, I think pretty much all hands are up. We're good. We don't need to be humbled. For those of you that aren't raising your hand, you're probably not going to raise your hand to anything I say. And you need to deal with that in your heart today. So just saying. But so all of us are on the same plane here. None of us are perfect or good at this. We're pretty bad at this. If you look at our human nature, we're pretty bad about this. You know, our instinct is kind of to be selfish. And when somebody hurts you, it's kind of instinct just to either write them off or refuse to forgive, or you remember that, you know, and so you're going to be ready for them next time, you know, that kind of thing. And that's exactly directly against what the Word of God says us as Christ followers should be like. And so my key scripture today is Ephesians 4:32. And it simply says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And I think that that's such a powerful verse. And we're going to come back to that. And is everybody at Matthew 18? Say, uh-huh. Yes. Okay, Matthew 18. If not, it will be on the screen, but I encourage you, man, open it up if you can. But I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dig into it. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to come and praise your name this morning. But also, Lord, as we're diving into this message of forgiveness, God, I pray, Lord, that we would take a posture of trying to imitate your heart, Lord. Lord, if we need to do some work, if we need to do some tinkering under the hood of our heart, God, today, God, I pray that we wouldn't be, Lord, so prideful to say that we don't have to, but Lord, that we would be vulnerable to you, and God, that we would just hear what you have to say to us this morning, that we would put our defenses down, and just hear your word, God, and then apply it to our life. I thank you, Jesus, for what you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So what I really quickly want to do is get something out of the way of what this message isn't about. And while writing this message, I got passionate and a little fiery. So maybe this is a bonus message, I guess you could say. But what I'm not talking about today is offenses. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about with offenses? When you, I think that sometimes, especially, man, the Facebook era and everything, you see offenses, when you take offense to something, there are certain people that take offense to almost everything. You know those people where you have to like gingerly approach how you're going to say something because you know, man, they might get offended pretty easily. And you kind of have to walk on eggshells around them or their feelings. Some of us get offended easily. How many of you would be honest and say, I might be one of those people? I get offended easily. Now, in some aspects of my life, I will raise my hand. I get offended easily on the road, okay? Driving, anybody else? I saw a nudge over there by a wife, I think. That's you. Maybe there's multiple ones. Man, I get offended easily on the road. Some people get offended easily when it comes to certain subjects. And I dare to say, what would it look like, this world, what would it look like if us as Christ followers refused to be so easily offended? Some of us get so passionate about, man, our fight or what we think our gospel fight looks like is almost really it's defending our offenses, what we get offended about. There's three real quick things that I want to say, and then I'm going to move on because I'm not talking about the little offenses in life. But one, give people the benefit of the doubt. When it comes to offenses, give people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe, man, if somebody zooms by me or cuts me off, maybe they have a wife in labor next to them. Maybe they're rushing somewhere or they're late somewhere. They have somewhere to be. I'm going to strive to start giving people the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to try to love them by not getting offended. Or if there's a certain way that you get offended easily, or give people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they didn't even mean what you took it as. Man, especially through text messages. How many of you guys have ever had a text message conversation just go so wrong? And like on your end, you're cool, but on the other end, it's like they're hurt and disappointed and upset. Man, I encourage you, does anybody else know what I mean? Is it just me? Because I totally didn't know. And the next time I saw that person, they were like cold towards me. And I'm like, what went wrong? And then I looked at their text message and kind of read it from their point of view. And I was like, oh boy, I messed up on this one. But maybe we just start giving people the benefit of the doubt. Stop expecting non-believers to act like believers. I think about that. Man, so many of us, we know what we believe and we hold true to that, and that's good, that's great, but so many of us get offended when non-believers don't act like believers. And it's like, what do you expect them to do? What do you expect them to act like? If they don't know Christ, if they don't know the gospel like you do, if they don't know the good news and they don't know what the standard that God called us to live by, then why are you so offended and so easily, I guess, erupted when they don't act like you act? Number four is it's not an us versus them scenario. It's not an us versus them scenario. We as Christ followers, sometimes we look at like, man, it's against the world. I'm at warfare. And it's you're not at warfare with other people. You're at warfare with the devil. You're at warfare with people not knowing the gospel. What our job is to do is to love people and let the Holy Spirit come in and change them. Our job isn't to fix everybody. And if they refuse to be fixed, then you know, we're at war with them all of a sudden. Man, I think that if we had a different perspective, then we would be a lot less easily offended. And maybe productive with our way of loving people, a lot more productive with our way of reaching the gospel to people that don't know him, if we were less easily offended. Because let's be honest, when we're offended, we're not in the mood to love people. We're not in the mood to show people grace. We're not in the mood to show people the love of Jesus. And so that's my quick bonus message about offenses. But we're not talking about that today. Maybe we are. That's like half my message. We're not talking about that today. We're talking about true deep hurt when somebody sinned against you, when someone hurt you deeply, and it's like you have every right to be mad. That is the type of hurt that we're talking about this morning. And so I want to open up the curtains of my life and let you in a little bit, let you see a time, and it's very tender still a little bit. Not super tender now, but it was at the time. And so I'm going to open up the curtains and let you see in my life, in my heart, what happened to me. So let me paint the picture, okay? Paint the picture. If you just kind of look up, I'm going to paint this awesome picture. I was in love. I was in love, I thought. I wasn't really. I was 15. I'll just say that. I was 15. And our relationship was at like 6 months. I mean, it was going strong, you know? That was the longest in any of my friend group. But man, it's like, you guys are getting married tomorrow. So I was 15. I was in love, or so I thought. And I remember I liked this girl, and she liked me, and we were in love. And it was awesome, and it was joyful, and it was great, and sometimes we would even hold hands, and it was just magical. My heart was just on cloud nine, and I'll never forget the day I opened up a door and I saw my beautiful love, my Juliet, kissing another dude. Yeah, kissing another dude, and that other dude happened to be my friend. That's bad. Hopefully none of us have ever been in that predicament, but you could imagine 15-year-old Jacob. I was shaped like SpongeBob SquarePants at the time, and I remember I was so brokenhearted, and in the venue we were at, I was running down the hall just like, what am I going to do with my life, you know? And I was mad, and I was upset, and rightfully so, right? And they saw me looking at them, and so both of them knew they messed up. Now, guys, us being guys, we get over it pretty quick, right? It's like we go in the back of the, we go to an alley and fight, and then we're good, you know? We punch each other a couple times, and it's like, all right, bro, we're good. But the girl, that was hard. The girl, that was hard. It's like she had my heart, and it was so tender, and she put it on the ground and stomped on it, you know? That's what it felt like. And I remember just the feeling. Of course, I was hurt. I was deeply hurt, but I remember how just much she begged. She apologized so much. She's like, it's only you, and it's only going to ever be you, and apologized and said she would never do it again, and I would get sympathy from our friend group, and like, you know, all these people are like, how could she do that to you, and all this stuff, and just, it was a horrible time, but deep down, I loved it. I milked that thing forever. It was like, man, I'm getting all this. Like, it was like I kept getting like get well soon cards. It wasn't like that, but it felt like that in my heart. It's like, man, all these people, like I got them on the hook, you know? It's like, man, I held on to that offense for a long time because I knew, man, people felt sorry for me. She kept apologizing. She treated me like so nice. I mean, I refused to date her, but it was kind of nice like stringing her along, you know, and all this stuff. And just being honest with you guys, it's not right. It's not right. But it felt great, and really when I take a step back and thinking that, man, I feel like I'm robbing her of something, I'm getting her back in some way, but really, if I really looked at it, I was just robbing myself, right? We're just robbing ourselves. Sometimes it's like after you catch a fish, like a small little fish, and you just have it out there on the hook, and it's just helplessly like, you know, going crazy, you know, just waiting for you to take the hook off, and it's kind of like you got the power, you know? It's like that fish isn't going back in the water unless I take it off the hook and put it back in the water. I've got the power. And sometimes that's how we feel when people have offended us and we refuse to forgive. We refuse to let them come back into our lives. And it's like we got them on the hook and we kind of enjoy it. We kind of enjoy it sometimes. But I'm here to tell you that is a wrong way of looking at it. That is a wrong way of looking at it. Refusing to forgive and resentment only robs you. The longer you hold on to it, the more bitterness sets in and it starts to grow like a fungus. Have you ever seen, I'm quickly going to tell my wife and I, but we had this pantry that was bigger than like a room in Goodland. Like we didn't know what to do with it. It was like this giant thing. And it's not like Ramey and I aren't like huge like chefs by any means. I mean, we can make sandwiches pretty good. But like as far as the pantry, we didn't know really what to do with ourselves. So we started getting dangerous. You know, we started making mashed potatoes and stuff. And we felt like, man, we're making like 4-course meals. And we felt good about it. So I remember making mashed potatoes for like one of the first times. And we loved them. It was like, man, gourmet, you know, Chef Jacob. And so we got several bags of mashed potatoes because it was like, we're going to do this a lot, you know. And one of the bags somehow got placed on like the top shelf of our pantry that we never go in and all this stuff. And it just sat there. And like 6 months down the road, I mean, it was a long time. All of a sudden, like it wasn't the smell, which after we uncovered it, like, it was the smell. But it was like, I looked up one day and I saw like leaves. I saw like some weird like plant growing in our pantry. It's like, how did it get there? You know, like I work in gardening, but it's like I didn't plant anything up there. And who plants stuff in your pantry, you know? And so I look up and I see it's a bag of potatoes and they had gone haywire. You know, you just let them sit and all of a sudden they're like, they're mutant plants. You know, it's like the Jungle Book in your pantry. And that's what bitterness is like in our hearts. You know, if we just let it sit there and we don't touch it, it just grows, it gets out of control. And maybe something started so small, like when you're in an argument and you let that bitterness sit in and then you stop forgetting what the argument is and you just know you're mad at that person. Like that's what bitterness does to our hearts. And it begins to just rot and change you. And so that's what Jesus is going to tackle today in this parable. And so Matthew 18, Jesus just got done teaching how to handle a disagreement. And so Peter is about to ask a very legit question. So if you read Matthew 18, Jesus just got done saying, you know, this is how you deal with a disagreement with a brother or sister and all of the different things. And Peter's like, okay, well, here's this one, Jesus. And so we pick it up in verse 21, and I'm reading from the Message version, but here it goes. At that point, Peter got up the nerve to ask, Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or a sister who hurts me? 7? And Jesus replied, 7? Hardly. Try 70 times 7. Now, I want to pause there and say, Peter's question was probably legitimate, right? Jesus just got done preaching or teaching about how to handle a disagreement, and maybe Peter just got his camel stolen or Birkenstocks taken or something, and he was legitimately hurt, and he was like, man, how long do I forgive somebody? And so he asked, you know, 7? Like, 7 is kind of a generous number. Like, if somebody has hurt you in a certain way and you've forgiven them, think about it. Like, 7 times, that's a long time, right? If somebody has stolen something from you, like say, okay, girls, like it never fails. All in girls' friend groups, when girls go to other girls' houses, it never fails. Straighteners go missing, you know, pieces of weird clothing. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? And if that happens with the same girl like 3 times, it's like, she's not coming over anymore, right? Like I'm gonna stop giving her straighteners and blow dryers kind of thing. But 7 times, that's a generous number. And Jesus looks at him and totally crushes it. He says, 7? Like, Peter, you're hanging out with me. You're supposed to be a good guy. You know, 7? Like, hardly. Try 70 times 7. Now, for those of you that have your calculators out trying to figure out the perfect number, stop it, because it's not a perfect number. What Jesus is doing is he's going after the heart. It's not about the number. It's about the heart. Jesus is saying, whatever number you think, if you're trying to keep score with it, you're wrong. It's about your heart, Peter. It's about what it looks like in your heart. If your heart lines up with mine, then there's not a number in your heart. You're going to yield always on the side of love, mercy, and forgiveness when somebody wrongs you. And so when I reading this and studying for this, honestly, I felt convicted. And maybe, hopefully, some of you are on the same boat I am, but sometimes when I get really hurt and somebody blatantly hurts me and sins against me, sometimes I throw the book at them. Sometimes it's in my heart, like you know when an officer pulls you over and it's like, you know, everything was cool and then you disrespect him and then all of a sudden it's like, well, you kind of, you know, you ran through that stoplight and all this and he throws the book at you. Well, in my heart, sometimes I throw the book at the people and I think there's a couple of criteria of when I'm going to forgive them. It's like depending on how big the sin was against me, you know, how big was this thing? Sometimes it's how many times have I dealt with this person on this issue or do I feel like they deserve my grace? Now, these are things I would never say out loud, except for right now in front of all of you. But in my heart, that's what's going on of man, do they deserve my grace? Or do they have like a repeated thing of they hurt this person a lot in this certain area? It's like, do they even deserve my grace? Or should I just like be mad at them and really lay the hammer down, you know? As Mitch Holthus would say, lay the hammer down, if any of you Chiefs fans. Anyway, do I feel like they deserve my grace? How long should I wait to forgive them? And I'm here to tell you, if you're keeping score in your heart, you're all wrong. Grace should always be at the forefront. It's not the number, it's about the heart. And so Jesus goes on to tell this story of this parable, and this is what he says. The kingdom of God is like a king who decided to square accounts with his servants. As he got underway, one of the servants had was brought before him who had ran up a debt of $100,000. He couldn't pay up, and so the king ordered the man, along with his wife, children, and goods, to be auctioned off at the slave market. The poor wretch threw himself at the king's feet and begged, "Give me a chance and I'll pay it back." Touched by his plea, the king let him off, erasing the debt. I really quickly want to note that the master not only let him go, but he wiped the debt clean. It's not, okay, you can stay, you can work it off. He wiped the debt clean. Continuing in verse 28, the servant was no sooner out of the room when he came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him $10. He seized him by the throat and demanded, "Pay up now." The poor wretch threw himself down and begged, "Give me a chance and I'll pay it back," but he wouldn't do it. He had him arrested and put in jail until the debt was paid. When the other servants saw this going on, they were outraged and brought a detailed report to the king. The king quickly summoned the man and said, "You evil servant, I forgave your entire debt when you begged to me for mercy. Shouldn't I be compelled to be merciful to, or shouldn't you be compelled to your merciful, to be merciful to your fellow servant who asked for mercy?" The king was furious and put the screws to the man until he paid back his entire debt. And that's exactly what my Father in heaven was going to do to each of you who doesn't forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy. Now, quickly, I want to point out the three big lessons of this parable that Jesus is talking through. One is the grace and mercy has been extended to us. God has extended us grace and mercy. A debt that is so big that would be nearly impossible to pay off, our sin, our falling short of living for a holy life. I mean, how many of you guys know when you look at the standards that God puts in front of us, it's just hard. Maybe it's not the obvious ones. Maybe you're not always wanting to kill your neighbor, you know? But maybe it's the simple ones like gossip. It's like, man, things, it's so hard not to do those things. I think about, you know, when Paul wrote in Romans 7 about, you know, I know what I want to do, but I can't do it. And I do exactly what I don't want to do. And the struggle with sin, there's this struggle going on in his heart. And I remember we're wired this way naturally. We're wired this way. We're gonna mess up. We fall short. I'll never forget growing up in a house with three siblings and two brothers. And keep in mind we loved to eat. Okay, we loved to eat. And I'll never forget my dad's not a big like stock the pantry till it's full and just eat whatever you want and then you know we'll just go buy when it's out. It's like, no, we're scheduling out our meals and we're gonna go on Saturday and we're gonna get what we need, not a whole lot extra, and we gotta ration this stuff throughout the week. Families, are you guys like that? Who's the stock it to the hilt and just go for it? Anybody? Okay, so yeah, I had friends like that, and it was like the promised land when we went over to their house. It was like the land of milk and honey, you know? It's like we walked in, and it was like, this is what God intended, you know? And so, but our house wasn't like that. And so I'll never forget my dad would set these rules of, we would always go through the milk so fast. My dad didn't like milk, so he didn't buy a lot of milk. We all loved milk, and so we had to ration the milk. And like now, if you come over, you're going to be like sicked out about this, but now it's like, I'm a grown up, I do what I want, you know? And so it's like milk, you know, I just take the jug and just drink whatever I want to do. My wife does. I don't know if she likes it. Maybe she does it too. I don't know, but she doesn't care. But it wasn't like that. And so my dad would say, you know, ration the milk. And I knew what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to do that. But I remember whenever he would say, he would have a couple little things. He would go on the road and he would buy these certain snacks that he would need for the road because he didn't want to like stop and get a bunch of stuff. But he would get those little like, pretzel like stick things and the cheese. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like the cheese. And those are like his staple snack for on the road. And he's like, don't touch those, you know? And I remember in my life, it was like, and this is like our human nature. It was like whenever he told me, all of a sudden it became like Mission Impossible. Like over the night, I've got to get one of those, you know? It's like, I'm doing it. And like he would count how many were in the box. And so the only logical thing for a 10-year-old to do would be to take the box. And now it's like he lost count. All of a sudden the box is missing. Nobody knows what happened. And he would mark the milk, you know, like go to sleep. And he's like, guys, you guys are going through like 3 gallons a week. I'm marking the milk. And so he would mark the line. And so, you know, I'm an ornery guy. I would like to think I'm kind of, you know, I think on my feet, and I would drink the milk and then I would just put water until it was back to the line. It was easy. Went from whole milk to 2%. No big deal. Make it skim milk next time. So but I remember it's like, I knew what I was supposed to do, but I couldn't do it. And I think we live that way in our lives of we know what Jesus is calling us to, but we can't do that. We can't do that. And so God giving us grace and mercy is needed because we aren't wired to live by the standards that he has set before us. We are going to fail. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Nobody in this room sitting here at the sound of my voice or anyone else for that matter has ever held up to the standard that God wants for us. And that's okay. I don't think God is sitting there and he's not waiting for us to mess up. So, you know, it's not like he has a big ant farm and he's just waiting to, you know, do the magnifying glass on us. That's not how it is. It's he wants to extend grace and mercy, and it's been extended to us to a debt that we can't pay off. He loves us enough to forgive us by sending his son Jesus to pay off that debt by dying on a cross for our sins. So that's the first lesson that Jesus said is debt, the mercy of your debt has been given to you. It's been erased. It's gone forever. And then the second thing is Jesus is showing us how foolish it is to not extend the grace. How can this servant, after being forgiven from owing $100,000, be so hard on somebody that owes him $10? Yet, that is how we act like in our lives. When somebody wrongs us, when we want to hold them accountable for what they did to us, for whatever it is, it is essentially this story. You put yourself in this circumstance of Jesus has erased your debt forever, and yet you are holding somebody up to something that might be pity. And now I know it's not all just small things. I get that. It's not all small things. I know that there's probably people in this room that are sitting here who have been abused, who have been mistreated on a level that some of us can't ever understand, and I get that. But I think that when we put in perspective of this isn't our home, this isn't it, and there is a higher, there's a reward for us, there is a higher place, there is a better place waiting for us. And when we have that perspective, all of a sudden it becomes a little easier to extend that grace and knowing, man, we're not home. They're not perfect. Even if you trusted and loved that person, they're not perfect. We're not home. And so I've got to keep those things in perspective. And all of a sudden it becomes a little easier to extend that grace. You can only do it sometimes with God's help. Sometimes, man, it is impossible unless you just refuse. It's like, Lord, I need to lay this at your feet. I can't hold on to this anymore. It's a burden. It's chaining me down, and I've got to take the shackles off and leave it at your feet. But we're not designed to hold on to junk. It is so foolish. It is so foolish of not extending grace. And I think also as I was writing this message, and I shared this with my students, man, some of us come in here on a Sunday morning and we take of communion and we celebrate the amazing grace that God has extended to us. And we think of the shortcomings of our own life and how we have fallen short, but God has picked up that slack. And yet we go out and we act like little spoiled school children towards people who have hurt us. How foolish. How foolish. It is so foolish not to extend the grace that God has given you. And third, we see that there is a warning of what happens when we fall, when we fail to extend that forgiveness. When we don't extend that grace to someone who has failed us, it's a reflection of what's going on in your heart. When you say, Jesus, I want to be a follower of you and I'm going to be in pursuit of you, but you fail to extend that grace and that love, I think God doesn't just see your words, he sees your heart. And sometimes we want to put a good show on and maybe do our little checklist to get to heaven, but God doesn't care about your checklist, he cares about your heart. The warning is continuing. You can see it throughout Scripture, but another place in Matthew 6, Jesus says this, and it's very plain and clear cut to the point. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. Again, that's Matthew 6, 14 and 15. This is the big idea of this message, and I'm wrapping up. The big idea of this message is simple. How are we to be used by God when we can't share the two most powerful attributes he has? His love and his grace. How are you to be used by God if you can't show people love and grace? When we don't forgive, you are also forfeiting a blessing that has been extended to you. I think that we put regulations on how much grace that we are willing to give. Some have no room for forgiveness in their hearts. And I think C.S. Lewis put a really powerful quote that, again, helps it put in perspective. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Forgiveness and mercy and love are at the foundation of what it means to be a Christ follower. It's at the foundation of who Christ is. And so, church, I just want to encourage you this morning in your hearts, we have to do business in our hearts. If we're honest with ourselves, a lot of us deal with this. And maybe I believe there's really three categories here. There's people that, man, they just need a heart adjustment because they see that it's easy for them to hold on. It's easy for them not to forgive, and they are constantly being hurt, constantly. I submit to you, what is the common denominator in that? Maybe it's your heart. Man, we got to stop expecting people to be perfect because they're not. They're going to mess up. We can't hold people to that standard. Of course, you put love and trust into somebody, but they're going to mess up. Just know that now. They're going to fail you. But we have to understand that maybe we need an adjustment here. And I think maybe the second category is maybe you're one of those people that something deep hurt has happened to you. Maybe it's affected you all your life. Maybe it happened when you were a small child and still you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever, and you're still holding on to that and it still hurts you. And I encourage you, whether the person is here or not, or you can tell them that you forgive, man, lay it down at Jesus' feet. You are chained, you are bonded to that, and you are not going to be free until you let that go. You got to stop holding on to it. And I think the third group is maybe you don't know how to forgive because you've never accepted that forgiveness for yourself. Maybe you've heard about Jesus, you know kind of what that is, but you have not ever really taken a hold of that mercy and that love that's been extended to you. So how are you supposed to know how to give it? So this morning, I'm just going to close with a simple prayer, and I want some response. So I'm going to ask for some response here. I'm not going to ask you to get up and run laps, you know, if you fall under a certain category or anything like that. It's simply what's going on with your hand being raised is simply a reflection of what's going on in your heart. So I'm just going to ask a simple three questions, and I'm going to pray for us that God would do a work in our heart about forgiveness and in this area of grace and love. And then I'm going to dismiss us, and we can go to the Chinese buffet, whatever you guys are going to do. But I think it's time to do a little work in our hearts. So if everyone would bow their head, and I'm not going to pray immediately. I'm going to ask for some response, but I want your heads bowed. And the only reason I'm looking around is because I want to be able to pray for those who respond. So that first category of, man, you need a heart adjustment because you're constantly being, you're constantly not forgiving. You're constantly, every time somebody does anything to you, you're holding on to it. And it's just making you, you're kind of this just bitter person, bitter Bonnie, we'll call you. And you're like, man, I know that I need the Lord to come in and do an adjustment in my heart, and I need to let that go. I need to let constant unforgiveness out of my life, and I need to get rid of that. And it's something that you need a heart adjustment, because everything that happens, it's like you refuse to forgive. If you feel like you fall under that category, could you just simply raise your hand quickly? I see those hands, and I will pray for you. The second category, man, you've held on to a deep hurt for a long time. There's something specific. Even when the word forgiveness came on the screen, you immediately got a little bitter because you knew that you were going to have to face whatever that was. And I really encourage, man, today's that day to let it go. If that's you, and I just want to pray for you, could you raise your hand? Man, hands all over. We're going to pray for you. And finally, if you say, man, I've never grabbed that forgiveness for myself. I know about Jesus. I know a little bit about that, but I've never accepted Jesus. I've never accepted that grace towards me, and I want to do that today. And if you raise your hand, I just want to simply come and talk to you afterwards. But if that's you this morning, could you raise your hand? I see that hand. Lord, you've seen our response in our hearts, God. You've seen these hands, Lord, but more importantly, you've seen our hearts, God. When it comes to this issue of forgiveness, God, I pray that you would just minister to us this morning. Lord, there's so many people in this room that need to lay it down at your feet, Lord, that they've been bonded by it, Lord God, that they've held on to that long time unforgiveness, God, and it's time to lay it at your feet. It's so crucial, so important, Lord God. If we want to mirror your image, God, we have to lay this down. We have to extend grace. We have to extend mercy. We have to extend love. And God, I pray that you would just do a work in those hearts. God, that you would start mending their brokenness with whatever it is. Lord, if that person is still in their life, God, I pray that they would go to that person and that they would deal with that forgiveness in a personal way, God. But more importantly, God, just that they would deal with it in their hearts, that they would let that go, that they could have a clearer vision of who you are in their life. Lord, for the many that needed just a tune-up in their hearts, that, man, they're dealing with unforgiveness with even some of the small things, the easy things in life. And Lord, I pray that you would just come in and change their perspective on life. Change their perspective, Lord God, to be people that err on the side of grace. And Lord, for this hand, Lord God, says that they want to know that forgiveness for themselves, that they've never really grasped that forgiveness and that they want to hold on to that. Lord God, I pray that their hand would be a reflection of their heart, God. I pray that you would bless them moving forward, Lord God, that they would surround themselves with people in a church, Lord, that would love them and help disciple them and move them forward to be a stronger Christ follower. God, I thank you for them, Lord. I thank you for this church. Lord, go with us as we leave today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.